Costs to originate keep rising, even with more technology in the industry. The problem is the core platform. A new LOS can re-architect the process around data, not humans moving paper files. Vesta has built this LOS, and you can learn more at vesta.com. Welcome, everyone. My guest today is lead analyst Logan Motoshami to talk about some good news on mortgage rates, what Powell said on Wednesday, and what to expect from the jobs report. Logan, welcome back to the podcast.
It is wonderful to be here, Sarah.
It is wonderful to have you on, especially because our first thing we're going to talk about is mortgage rates under 7%.
I know we're talking right now Wednesday morning. The 10-year yield is at 4.09%. So for those that follow the tracker or especially follow me on Instagram, you know I was like, "Oh boy, we don't want to break over 4.34. We tested, and it's coming lower. It's jobs week. We had inflation week. So the fact that we're here is a very, very good thing. And we still have two more big labor reports left, especially jobs Friday. So a positive in that sense, because again, you don't want to have another market mistake or Fed mistake like happened last year where we broke through that level and then we went straight to 8% mortgage rates and wasted any amount of time dealing with that. And now hopefully we can get things below 4% on the 10-year yield, mortgage rates really coming lower down to the mid six levels. And then we'll take it from there at that point.
So where are mortgage levels right now at this time on Wednesday?
I would just say, just based off the action today, what happened yesterday, we should be under 7%. Not, I mean, just barely, but still, again, I try to emphasize to people, oh, it could have been much worse. Right, we could have just broken through that key level. We could have been talking about 7.5% plus rates, and do we get to 8%? For now, that is avoided, and you know we still have jobs Friday to deal with.
So we had some big Wall Street investment funds and different people this week say maybe there won't be any rate cuts, and then we had Jerome Powell talk today. So Fed Chair Powell, what was the outcome of that? What did he say?
So Powell staying consistent with they're going to cut rates this year, okay? They're trying to massage the market because what occurred last year is that the 10-year yield made a really, really big move lower. And then the market was pricing like 5 to 6 rate cuts. And the Fed said, no, let's bring this back. So you got 2 to 3 rate cuts for sure. And they're just going to be very slow on this one. And get to the level because jobless claims data. Again, for me, it's all about jobless claims. If jobless claims were rising, even if the Fed was still hiking, the 10-year yield would go lower, right? And this explains what happened at the end of 2022 to early 2023 when mortgage rates were falling, the 10-year yield was falling lower than what we have today while the Fed was still hiking, because the bond market thought we were going into recession. We didn't. So everything's kind of somewhat back in line. Today I could just see the frustration of Wall Street, wanting that 10-year yield to break. The people that are saying, "Oh, we need higher rates. We need it. Oh, I don't feel bad for them. I'm sorry. In any case, Powell today kind of talked about, some things like I don't really expect inflation to go too much lower from here. Where the 12-month is already at 2.4%. They're just holding things as long as they can. And, when he talked about, we have to be aware of surprises, right, to the economy. And just remember, if the bond market sniffs weakness in the labor market, they're not old and slow, man. They will burn faster than what the Fed can do. So we got jobless claims that'll come out this morning when this podcast comes out, but jobs Friday. But Powell was sticking to his kind of core theme. We need more confidence. We've made really good progress on the core inflation side. We're going to probably cut rates, a few times. And then because the labor data, remember, they highlight the labor data a lot. The labor data is still firm. We could take our time. And this is the, when they wanted to attack the labor market, because I'm going to be honest with all of you here. They thought we'd be in a recession last year. They just went ahead and put their heads down and said, okay, we'll deal with it then. And it didn't happen. And they're quite not sure what to do right? So you don't forecast the 4.5, 4.6% unemployment rate from where we were and not say we're going into recession. Labor force growth simply cannot be that big to offset that kind of unemployment rate. So they're kind of just a little hesitant out here. They're afraid to win. And that's the thing. And I always say to people, if the 10-year yield just range between 3.37 and 3.80, you're not going to get the 1970s inflation. You're not going to get hyperinflation. You're not, nothing bad is going to happen except more people are going to buy homes. And Neil Kashkari will have a heart attack. He would have, he'd be staying up at night. He couldn't go to sleep because people having sex, buying homes, getting more stuff is problematic for him and some of the Fed members.
Listen, he would not be happy with me. Since I closed on my house a few weeks ago, I've been getting more stuff, so much stuff. It's crazy. I'm stimulating the economy. Okay, so rates, just even if they dip below 7 and we're just in the 6s for longer, we were having an internal discussion at Housing Wire in our Slack channel about what the ideal mortgage rate scenario is for long term to really see things pick up. So there was like, people are like 5.99, which we've seen before. But one thing that Mike Simonson said that I thought made a lot of sense, he was like, it's the velocity. It's what you've gotten used to versus what the new thing is. So if people have been thinking 7, 7.5, and we go even below into the 6s, what does that do to the market?
Well, the rate of change in rates does impact the purchase application data. But it's also, like, for example, purchase application data was up almost 11% week to week. Okay, that's a noticeable week to week move. I'm always a little bit cautious around a 2-week holiday period. But, you know, we're down 8% year over year now. Remember, the bar is very low, so don't put too much weight on that. But what happened was mortgage rates went from 7.16% down to, you know, 7%. And because you're working from a lower bar, any kind of movement can move it up. That's why we call the rate of change. So, like, for example, when mortgage rates went from 8% all the way down to 7.25%, which is higher than today, we saw growth every single week, right? So, but we're working from 8% mortgage rates and a lower level of purchase application data. So the rate of change is in the data. This is why we created the tracker. And when we think about the tracker after this week, we broke the 5-week negative streak in purchase application data. Go back to November of last year. We've had 9 positive weeks and 5 negative. I don't count the holiday periods. I take that out. That 5-week negative period straight came with mortgage rates going from 6.63 all the way to 7.16. Okay, so you can see what happens. Their rates went up. The demand fell in the purchase application data. For me personally, like, to get real growth, like, this is not growth. Look at the purchase application data back to 1990s level. There's nothing really going on here. To get real growth, to me, you need 4.75 to 5.875 rates for 12 to 18 months, right? If you want sustainable growth in that fashion, and because we have people waiting, right? We still have a lot of people waiting out there. That can draw the bigger pool, right? And that's why I say lower rates with duration really helps. Because remember, this is a home you're buying. You're not buying something on net or, you know, Instagram or something like this. It's a whole process, right? Especially if you're renting, you know, you have to, like, set things up. So you don't move on a whim, but lower rates for longer, the bigger pool gets ready and choices can be made. Here, you know, the pool is not that big, but you do see a rate of change. And again, we created the tracker so everyone can visually see and keep dialogue, because you could get lost in the noise out there. And the reality is, after the biggest and fastest crash in home sales ever recorded in history in 2022, we've really gone nowhere, right? And this is why I've always tried to emphasize that 4 million level. You know, and, you know, we've had a lot of discussions in other interviews recently. And, you know, if somebody asks me, how do you get 5 million total home sales with home prices this high and rates this high? Always remember dual household incomes, right? My whole skit for the last 10 years before 2020 to 2024, rent, date, mate, marry, 3.5 years after marriage, kids, household incomes, dual incomes together, 4 million home
buying a year, it's not that much considering you have over 158 million people working. So the rate of change matters, but I think to me, to get sustainable growth, you need lower for a duration period. And then you get the whole process of housing moving. You know, somebody goes, okay, maybe next year I'll think, oh, rates are here. You know, you the pool gets bigger and bigger in that sense. And, you know, Daly talked about this, Fed President Daly of San Francisco. She said, you know, we are raising the cost of living or, you know, for housing, and it's making housing more expensive, but that's temporary. I think that's the first time she used the word temporary in that. So they do kind of expect, you know, like Powell said today, that, you know, if things work out, rates will go down, and especially it'll be beneficial for mortgage rates. When the Fed starts cutting rates, the spreads should get better out there. So you have variables that can get us there. And I think, you know, bearish Russian, Chinese, and American citizens who want to see the U.S. go into a recession, who want to see deflation and jobs lost for some fanatical ideological belief that is crazy to me. You do not want the 10-year yield to go lower. You do not want people starting buying homes again. I mean, one of the big whiffs for the recession in 2023 was that the builders started to sell homes and build, you know, that's not recessionary data line. So I think there's some pain felt today by bearish American citizens who want to see the U.S. go into recession because that 10-year yield's falling. But we're not anywhere yet to get like real growth. Like COVID-19 was like, boom, boom, game was on. Boy, there was no equivocation there. Here we're just like meandering back and forth, and it's grueling, it's frustrating, but you know, part of the tracker data is to keep everyone in line and in focus with what happens with rates falling. And you know, in 2022 to 2023, we went from 7.37 down to 5.99, 12 weeks positive data. Here, 8.03%, 6.63%, a higher a level of rates throughout the whole time. We got 8 weeks of positive data. So it's grueling, but this is the world we live in, and we just have to look at the data in that rate of change fashion. And oh my God, the Slack debates on the mortgage rate lockdown are gold. They are so gold. I'm sitting there going, oh my, what are you people doing? What are you arguing with me for?
One thing that strikes me is when you say we need duration, you know, we need rates to go down and last like 12 to 18 months. When is the last time that we, you know, I can't even remember like what did that feel like to have mortgage rates stay in a pretty good range for 12 to 18 months?
The previous decade.
I know, but I mean, like it's been four years, right? It's been long.
Again, part of this is not only the 10-year yield has broken this long-term downtrend, but spreads are really bad. I mean, I can't express to you, we are so restrictive to housing, you know, in this regard, because it's not just higher yields, it's also the spreads are bad. If the spreads were normal, we're below 6%, you know, so that's not, and again, I've had this belief for a very long time. When I saw Neil Kashkari, he was so afraid that people were buying homes that he literally came on national TV to say, you're making our jobs more difficult. Boo-hoo. Oh, by the way, listen, all these people are telling me you're scratching you're itching your face a lot lately. Are you doing drugs? No, I don't do drugs. You know, Sarah, I've never even seen marijuana in my life. That's how much.
And you live in California?
Yeah, and I'm such a nerd. I've actually never seen it. I'm just a dork, but I literally have two stray cats that I took in about 5 weeks ago. And the one that we're, you know, I'm trying to build a relationship with it. And, you know, we're cuddling and, you know, I'm trying to feed it and stuff. It just itches my face. So I get your messages. I'm not on drugs. I just have a stray cat and his fur and my fur aren't working.
This is so funny that they're noticing like, well, he's touching his nose a lot. What is he doing? That's very funny.
I was like, why am I touching my? And then I saw a recent interview I did. I was like, oh my God, that's like 27 times. And I was like, Remy, you know, so I was like, it happens. Okay. So I'm trying not to touch my face. Okay. Literally.
Okay. Well, thank you for reassuring all of our listeners that you're in good spot here. Okay, so what else do we want to talk about? So labor data, it's a big, we've got jobs coming out.
Jobs Friday. Yeah, jobs Friday. So let's take all the labor economic data work I've done here for Housing Wire. Okay, so what's happening right now? The growth rate of jobs should be slowing down. Kind of take those, you know, those 2 months of really big data lines, take them with a grain of salt, and just remember, we are catching up to where all the jobs should have been if there was no COVID right now. So we're going to slow down. And we literally, the job openings data we got today, quits ratio pre-COVID levels, hires ratio pre-COVID levels, job openings data itself, if you take a long-term uptrend in terms, looks perfectly there. There's no more tight labor market, right? The employment cost index that the Fed told us to track. Jolts, job openings, quits ratio. There we go. You've got what you wanted. You got a two handle on PCE. What are you waiting for? Come on, you know, but I think those things are positive in that sense. And one of the reasons why, you know, we haven't been able to break over 4.33 on the 10-year yield, employment cost index is down and job openings quits percentage. Those are key to the Fed. So if the labor data comes in any kind of soft print whatsoever, and then negative revisions, you can see the 10-year yield fall below 4% again. And then you remember, 3.80 to 4.25, that's kind of where we should be. If jobless claims start to pick up, I'm telling you, man, that 10-year yield will go lower. So these are the things that I look at daily. I'm not one of these people that go, mortgage rates should be here at some point in the future. Goodbye, everyone. You know, no, I don't do that. We do ranges and we get people versus, and it was good. You know, somebody said to me, I didn't even know what the 10-year yield was, but you talk about it all the time and now I follow it. Yes. Why, Sarah? Why do we always talk about the 10-year yield and 30-year mortgage rates? Because it's a slowed. Oh my God, that is a lovely couple. Since 1971, those two have been slow dancing. All the other jazz and smoke that everybody talks about, no. Where the 10-year yield goes, mortgage rates will follow, and that's been here for decades. You just got to find out what drives the 10-year yield. The spreads, of course, are really bad, and if the spreads got better, we'll have lower mortgage rates than what the 10-year yield is showing. But for now, just remember, directional changes revolve around the 10-year yield. Trust me, nobody wants to do that work. Oh my God, people run. This is why you get people that say, mortgage rate forecast on sometime there, and then that's it. You go away, you know? So are the true people like track this stuff daily and or the true nerds actually.
And you have some fellow nerds. We have other economists on here. We have them on panels. They speak at our events. Definitely have some great people tracking this. And then there are the people that, you know, people shouldn't listen to.
Yeah. And here's another good thing. Tomorrow, oh my God, Revenge of the Nerds. Sarah, this is so awesome. The BLS, like literally the CPI inflation report was so off that I think every nerd on planet Earth was like, wait a second, that's a big deviation from the trend. Something's wrong. So everybody started to harass the BLS and say, what's wrong with the rent data here? This is off. So they're going to give a webinar, I think tomorrow, about why is the rent inflation and housing inflation is so off? Because we all know that disinflation is happening, but we're actually going to get a webinar going. Talk about, let's get some popcorn and some Diet Coke, you know, and some Twizzlers, and everybody should watch this, you know, to see how they're talking about, you know, the OER rents and you know, just off of my first impression, I think they're just going to say this is going to be statistical noise for 1 or 2 months and then it'll go back to trend. But they're probably going to explain maybe the weighting of single family more than apartments really changed this data line. In any case, everyone knows the growth rate of rents are falling. You know, a single family is holding up better than apartments, but apartments, my God, the BLS created their own like new rent index and that thing's like a waterfall dive. So hopefully we get some more clarity on that as well. And that'll be beneficial for rates because that CPI report was like, all right, a second, no, that's not working.
Interesting. So you and other people saw it right away and you're like, there's something really off here.
I was like, doing my Instagram story. I was like, hey, this is an alligator chart. This is not supposed to look like this. You can't go this way on one and this way here. These two things are supposed to trend together. And I'm glad to see that everyone saw the same things. Dude, that's how nerdy we are. We all thought about this. Oh my God, a deviation of trends of OER rate. So this is what we do. We don't have much of a life.
Okay, what do you expect, you know, with all the things happening this week? Let's talk a little bit about inventory, right? So we are smack in the middle of spring. So we've been, you know, talking about the spring home buying market, running up to here we are. It is actually spring in my estimation. I know depending on where you are, but let's say March is supposed to be one of the big months. So where are we on inventory?
So the positive story so far for 2024 for me is that, you know, and this is something I picked up on last year with the new listings data. When mortgage rates went to 8% and people said, nobody's going to list their homes. Literally the calmest data line we had last year was new listings data didn't go lower. There's your key. That could be the historical all-time bottom there. So what's happening is we're getting some growth. Now, the new listings data is growing maybe not as fast as I would like it, but inventory is up year over year. 80,000 homes, it doesn't sound like a lot, but still, more choices are a good thing, you know. And I know that, you know, the Florida situation, especially the areas that were hit heavily by the hurricane. But in general, it is a positive thing, right? Because for me, it says like the whole savagely unhealthy housing market was inventory was too low. We literally only had 240,000 single family homes in March of 2020. Not a good thing. We're literally double that today, right? So that's a positive.
Wait, you said we had 240,000 in March of which year?
We had 240,000 single family homes available for sale in March of 2022. So that's, yeah. So that, and we've doubled from that. We're almost at 500,000. So that the whole savagely unhealthy housing market is too many people chasing too few homes. Now it's good, positive, right? So I know some people might say, though, that's not a lot of inventory. Anything is good, right? The farther we get away from 240, the better. And we're about to get into that spring season. There's only a few, like 3 or 4 more months before the new listings data seasonally declines. But again, it looks pretty normal, but healthy normal, right? And I just want to get back to the, you know, 2022 levels. And just for everyone to realize, remember 30,000 and 90K has been the historical low in new listings data on a yearly basis. And it looks like we're trending, but we want to see the new listings data grow. What we don't want to see is that some sellers, you know, just go, okay, you know what? I'm not risking this again. You know, I don't want rates to jump on me again and stuff. And it's already high. I don't want to list. So far, so good. I'm very happy that we are seeing inventory growth. I'm very happy that we're seeing new listings data's growth. And everything's kind of what this kind of reminds me of what housing used to be like, right? Back in the days when it was this boring, slow moving sector of our economy and there was plenty of supply. You know, I was never a low inventory person in the previous decade. I used to make fun of the people that say, people go, there's no homes to buy. It's like, yes, there are. No, there's no. If there wasn't, the days on market would collapse and home prices would escalate out of. Wow, that was 2020, 2021 in the early part of 2022. So there's when you've done this for as long as I have and you remember everything. So I'm very happy on the inventory front. We don't have any what we call panic sellers nationally or anything like that, but we're growing, and that's a positive thing. And as we go on, right, hopefully more choices. And if rates do fall, people have more choices to work with, and that's a positive.
So I wanted to circle back on something that I asked you a couple of weeks ago. I was like, I'm going to ask you this question, which you don't like to answer. Or you always say it the same way, which is like, if someone asks you, is now a good time to buy a house? What would you say? All this stuff. And we said to the listeners, let us know, is that a good question or is it not? And the very interesting thing is we see that we have people who side with Logan and, you know, emailed him and said, yeah, you know, you've already answered this question. And then we have people who sided with me and they emailed me and they're like, no, you should keep asking that question. It's a good question. So it just depends on, are you team Logan or team Sarah? So we saw both.
Listen, all of you are adults now. Okay. You're not living with your parents. Well, actually some of you might be. And it is a 30-year fixed payment. It is the cost of shelter. Millions of people buy homes every single year. Why are they doing it? Because they're ready. If you're asking somebody on Twitter or YouTube or Instagram if you should buy a home, my first answer is you're not ready, because you don't let somebody like that have that much power over you. Like, could you imagine if some guy in 2020 said, that YouTube guy, he said home prices are going to crash. I don't want to buy a house. and you didn't buy a house when mortgage rates are 3%, and then you're going, but he told me, homie, oh my God, you don't blame anybody but yourself. You let some crank out there on YouTube tell you not to buy a home at 3% rates. And I just don't think there's a lot of people like that. I just don't think there's a lot of people. I think most people are set to go. I don't see anything in the data that says to me that there's all these people sitting on the sidelines and they're scared or anything like that. I think there's marginal people. I think there's people that want to be reassured. Like if somebody I've had people ask me, I've had my economic friends ask me, and I always say that it's a 30-year fixed payment. Look at that payment. Are you comfortable with that? And they go, yeah, that's pretty good. And what are you asking me for? You are going to bed with that every night. You are waking up in the morning with that payment every morning. The fixed portion of that is fixed. Your taxes could go up, your insurance, but you are sleeping with that payment every single night, and it's the most steady relationship you're going to have, right? So go with it, okay? Right? So in that sense, you're good.
How do I top that? There's nothing I can say that tops that analogy, but I will just say thank you all for writing in, contacting either Logan or myself and letting us know what you thought about that. Definitely a split opinion there, because there were people who agreed with me that it's not just asking people on, cranks. They're asking you. They ask you this all the time on social media.
You're talking to an old high school basketball coach who says, if a kid ever tell me, coach, should I ever go in? I'm throwing him out of the gym. Okay, come on. We want ball players, and millions of people buy homes every single year. Why? They're ready. And there's nothing wrong with you renting for the rest of your life. Think about how much better you'll sleep at night, not worrying about prices crashing or anything. So it's just, I don't see it in a day. I think we make too much of this story. And I think 75% of the people that ask me this are trolling men who, these people have no lives in any case. In that context, I just think people know when they're ready or not, because it's fixed payment. And hopefully by now everyone can see what's the benefit of housing in America over every other country in the world and why they hate us so much. Fixed debt costs, rising wages, right? Rising wages with a fixed debt payment. Cash flow gets better. Look at all the FICO scores in America. Sarah, if that chart was here, what I'm telling you, it is so beautiful. I literally, every time I tour the country, I sit there and I stop everything and go, look how beautiful that is. Look how beautiful that chart is. And then 5 minutes later, I go, I got to bring it back here. Look how beautiful this chart is right now. So hopefully, I think most people have common sense and make that choice.
Well, thank you so much, Logan, for bringing it again today. We'll talk in a few days when we know how the jobs turned out. But great insight today on Powell and rates. And thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Sarah.
Thanks for listening to Housing Wire Daily. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to take a minute to rate the show and leave a comment. And make sure to tune in tomorrow for more news and insight.